Hello, and welcome to ASD Radio, the official podcast of the Alamosa School District. I'm one of your hosts, Superintendent Dr. Diana Jones, and I'm thrilled to be your guide to the people, programs, and progress shaping our schools. As always, we're joined by co-host Assistant Superintendent Dr. Luis Murillo. Dr. Murillo, ASD Radio is one of our favorite things we are honored to do each and every week.
That's right, Dr. Jones. I love getting to know our people on a little deeper level. Sometimes I wish I had more time in the day so I can do that. I hardly ever get to just have a conversation about their personal life or their interest, but ASD Radio allows us to do that.
It'd be great if we could take this whole gig on the road and just sit at schools and talk to people all day.
Just go chat with people. Fun? That'd be awesome. Get paid to do so.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't think that's in our future.
I don't think so either. But let's move on to our first section, happenings at our campus. What can you share with us that's going on around Alamosa School District?
Well, even though there's still lots of things going on, it is that time of the year where we're just a few days away from our graduations.
Yes, we are. And it's so exciting. And we're getting ready to have awards banquets. And we've got a soccer playoff tonight.
That's right. Happening at Adams State.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we're so grateful for them to allow us to use their field at this time. But I keep seeing these seniors that we've watched grow up, and they're really excited and very ready to graduate.
That's right. This is year five for you and I.
Yes.
So we've seen people go through our system.
Yes. And we're very proud of them. Looking forward to watching them graduate.
That's right. Mark your calendars. May 23rd, 10 a.m., Alamosa High School graduation, and 1 p.m., Alamosa Alternative School and Alamosa Online School graduation at our stadium.
And then our kindergartners, we can't forget them. They are graduating on May 20th. From 8:15 to 10:30, and that is dependent upon what teacher you have as to what time. So if you know a kindergartner that's going to graduate, please look at the K2 website or contact the kindergarten teachers or the front office. They'll be able to help as well.
That's right.
Let's move on to our favorite section, celebrate. We get to celebrate our people.
We do. And this person that we're celebrating is very special because he just got to represent himself in Alamosa School District and Alamosa High School at the San Luis Valley Teacher of the Year Award Ceremony.
Yes.
Every year, every school district in the Valley gets to use their own process to select their own Teacher of the Year. And this year, Mr. Jeremy Dorsey was selected by his peers, which makes it a lot more special, to represent, again, Alamosa High School. I know a little bit about Mr. Dorsey, and we're going to get to know more during our conversation, but welcome to ASD Radio.
Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Don't you introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background. You have many things to share in your background.
I grew up and was born and raised in Chicago. In my time there, I lived there until I was like 18, almost 19, joined the Marine Corps, worked as an intelligence analyst for 5 years, spent a lot of time overseas and stationed in North Carolina. And then after I ended my contract, I decided to move to Colorado Springs. During that time, I remember when I was in high school, I like really wanted to go to Metropolitan State. I had cousins up in Denver, and I just wanted to get out of Illinois. It was too hot. The weather was great here. And I was like, I hated mosquitoes. And so I went toward Metropolitan State, but it was close to the 2009 recession, and I wasn't able to get any FAFSA or any sort of student aid. And if I did, I would have had to work full time, rent my own place and all that. And that would have been a lot for me at that time. I was kind of a hot mess. And so I decided to go to a semester of community college. Didn't really like it that much. I wasn't like, I could perform, like, test out well, but I just, homework stuff wasn't my thing. I didn't have the discipline yet. And then Marine Corps, had a great time, met some wonderful people in my life, lost some wonderful people in my life, and then went out to Springs, and I was like, I'm going to Metro. Would drive up once a week, got all the way to student teaching, was supposed to student teach at Castle Rock High School, and then my former spouse, she got a job here in Alamosa, and so I moved down here, and I remember like reaching out to Andy Levere and Amy Ortega and be like, I need a student teaching position. Can you help me out? And 5 years ago when you guys started was the same time I started when that happened. And in turn, I've been here ever since. And yeah, I love to travel and I just really enjoy what I get to do every single day, especially seeing the kids. And this year, like you guys said, with the seniors, like it's big for you guys. It's huge for me. Some of my seniors were finishing their stuff up this week and gave them all their letters. And it was a pretty heartfelt, bittersweet thing for me. But I really love my kids. So I'll take that any day.
Well, we're glad that, you know, sometimes life turns us in different directions and we're anticipating and we are thrilled that that happened. And you've been here for the last 5 years with us.
That's right. Jeremy, we're going to get into some other topics, travel, Army Star, all of that. But before we talk about that, I want to know when you heard that you were the Alamosa School District Teacher of the Year, and I saw a thing on the Alamosa Citizen and heard from Amy about the announcement, like, what went through your mind at that point?
I don't know. It's a hard thing because you don't want to come off like not humble or anything like that. But especially with this year with our department, we had some major changes. My biggest mentor has always been Sarah Ramirez, and she left some big clown shoes to fill. And I knew I kind of had to step up and do the things to make sure our kids and our program was continuing as we kind of saw fit. So I put a lot of myself in regards to having three different AP classes, an Army Star and a regular class, and then all while working on my master's and raising my own kids. And, you know, I remember Amy being like super hesitant, especially when I was like, no, I can do AP Gov. And she's like, why? And she's like, no, I think it'll be bad. And I was like, the kids really want to do it. They want to get the credit for it. I can sacrifice anything I need to make sure it's good for the kids. But to me, after how long and, you know, tumultuous the year kind of was and all over the place, like to get that recognition from my peers and colleagues and those that I really respect, it really did mean a lot. It really did mean a lot.
Well, it is a huge honor. And as both of you have said, just to receive the honor, be nominated by your colleagues and voted for says a lot. And we, Dr. Marie and I both see what you do. We see you and all of the many hours that you put in to really raise up, lift up, however you want to say it, our students is... You should be proud. You don't need to be humble. You should be proud of all that you've done in really a short time. So thank you for that. And obviously, your first and primary role is to teach at the high school, and you do so many other things, and I'm excited for our listeners to hear about that. But let's talk about teaching. In an era where students can Google any date or fact in seconds, how do you make history feel alive and relevant for teenagers?
That's a really good question. I think a lot of times, like kids, they'll come in or they'll just be like, history's boring and all this. And you have to make it personal and kind of connect to their own lives and create those natural connections where they're not necessarily needing to Google anything. But then if they're able to Google it, I'm not pushing the bar high enough, right? And it's really about developing their skills and their confidence in themselves. And then in turn, like, I'm a big fan of teaching history, of giving, here's multiple sources of what has occurred. You tell me what you think about what happened here. And I think that's a huge thing. And then you connect it a little bit more to some of those local issues or places where these kids locally here can relate to. And I think they're able to kind of own that and push forward and do some really wonderful things.
That's great. You know, Jeremy, we were talking about, you know, this is your fifth year, our fifth year, and we have truly seen some progress at Alamosa High School. Earlier today, I was putting together some slides to tell our story. We're negotiating tomorrow with our teachers union, and we have a story to tell, and we all own that story. And one of those data points is our graduation rate, how it's been growing. It's been increasing pretty steadily to our last one being at 84.2 for the district, and Alamosa High School being higher than that. From your perspective as a teacher being in the classroom, what is changing for our students? What's clicking?
I think I think what you're seeing a lot more, I can only speak at the high school level, and also shout out to the alternative school and everything they're doing there, giving those kids a chance. They're some of my favorite kids that are over there that I've ever had. They're hard workers. It's just, they just needed the right space to be successful. And I think a lot of my colleagues that I work with are always there to willing to go that extra mile for a kid and take that time. And in turn, it makes me a better teacher because I want to match that. Right. And I think as long as you give them love and respect, and really that respect piece is huge. It's a two-way street. And when you have that two-way street and you have those kids' respect, they're going to work hard for you. And then if they fall a little short or kind of are messing around and you give them the classic, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed, it actually means something. Mm-hmm. And I think our students have someone they can trust, someone that they can connect to. And you're just seeing this, like, this year was really interesting. You're just seeing this interesting cultural dynamic kind of occurring where kids seem more positive in the halls. Like, you're seeing a lot more smiles. You're seeing a lot more, like, joking around, talking to even some of our, like, security guards or anything mm-hmm. like that we've had. Like, they're just more interactive. And I think that's really, really big, right? Some of these kids, like, it's their home. Like, it's their home away from home. It's their place they feel the most safe. And if we can always give them that opportunity, then we're giving them a chance to meet their, to reach their potential and push them forward after high school as well.
That's a good point.
I love that you're seeing that, and our students are smiling and feeling safe. That's what we've been working for over the past 5 years, a safe, supportive, and collaborative culture. So thank you for recognizing that and sharing that today. Beyond the traditional classroom, you lead the Army Star program. For our listeners who might not be familiar what that is, can you explain the mission of Army Star and what it asks for of our students, and also how it benefits our students?
Yeah, absolutely. So Army Star is kind of like a subsection of JROTC. So basically preparing kids for like military lifestyles. So we wanted to give them that CTE opportunity first. But then I always make the joke, sorry for our Army listeners out here as a Marine, that they asked a Marine to do it so the job could get done right. But basically, it's all about leadership, responsibility, respect, and action. And in that process, you know, I got my ragtag group of misfits. I like to call them Uncle Sam's misguided children. But we create this wonderful family where it gives them a space to really learn how to be a leader, to being able to be confident, trusted, and disciplined, and really being able to push through any adversity that life has to throw at them. And a lot of those kids have a lot of that adversity. And some of them came to us with multiple incident reports when they were at OMS, going through that weird middle school phase, and have had pretty much none now. And I think a lot of that has to do with that family dynamic and pushing out those military values and then honoring the military as well in that process, which I think is really important.
Well, we talk a lot about trying to find a place for everyone, and this Army Star program has definitely done that for many students, just as you said, and we're so grateful that you're leading that, so thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's a really good spot for them, honestly. Like, and I've turned it over these last couple of years. I've changed it as kids have continued to grow. They're getting more of the leadership, so mm-hmm. it's more, I have kids where they're coming up with a lesson plan and teaching the kids how to do stuff when I taught them when they were freshmen, and really building this idea of family, unity, and whatever. And honestly, like, when they're going through stuff, we have our group chats and everything. So if they have anything, everyone's there to back each other up, and they have some source support, like, collectively.
We say all the time to our adults, lead from the position you're in. And that certainly applies to our students as well.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy, I get to see our Army Star students around the community. Tell us about some of the community events your group and you participate in.
Yeah, so I definitely can't take credit for fully getting them into these events because we had our military club first, and then from that military club became the Army Star. So we do the Veterans Day Parade every year. It's something I hold near and dear to my heart. It's something I love to see. The veterans in the community are always, like, super happy to see our kids out there, and they love it too. Like, they take pride in what they're doing, and they're like, am I marching good? Am I doing this? But we do the Veterans Day Parade. We do Adams State next weekend. We'll do Adams State graduation. We do their winter graduation as well, and then we'll do Alamosa's high school graduation, plus we do every single home football game. And we had them doing the cannon the last 2 years, which I think has been a little ad, yeah. But we've had to step that back mainly because it can shake some windows, and yes. People might not like that. And That's okay.
Well, I was when we got one of the complaints, I think we scored above 60 points, so there was a lot of window
shaking.
Yeah.
I live down the road from there.
We
definitely
were proud, though. Yeah.
Hey, they liked the football team liked it. I hope it amped them up. They play well when it's there, I find.
Yes. Is there, as you think about this, Jeremy, is there a specific moment, if you reflect on the past, with the Army Star program, maybe a competition, a community event, something that really stands out as a highlight or a point of pride for you?
Yeah, I think the Adams State graduations and our graduations are really good things, and them calling us back is showing that they're doing a really good job. But my favorite moment that to me is like, this is what I'm looking for, was the first year we were running it, and we have the picture still, and it was a big snowstorm. It was one of those big snowstorms where it started like snowing in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. And it was just nice, good packing snow. We made this gigantic snowman in the middle of like kind of the courtyard there on the student parking lot area. And this thing was huge. It took like 10 of us to lift it on. And wow. I have this awesome picture of them when they were freshmen, sophomores, and juniors at the time. And it was just this really big bonding moment. Another one was this year as well. We're in the class and we're working on like developing who you are as a person, like how do you have confidence, respect, where kind of are you lacking in all these different areas. And it ended up starting, I had to put the tables in a big circle and had people sharing some really, really personal things. It turned into almost a group counseling session. I was crying, they were crying. Mm-hmm. Like, and some kids were sharing some really deep things, and it was like a really beautiful like moment to know that like, wow, they really do find this as like a family space, and I'm doing what I need to be doing for these kids, and that's all that matters to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy, you also get to impact students through global travel. You partner with EF Tours to take a group of students somewhere around the world. Tell us where you've been and where you're going. And also, I know you've been to bunch of different countries. Yeah. Tell us about that.
I'm pretty well traveled. Yes. This tour stuff, I gotta always give Beth Hackett a lot of dues, and she's always had an impact in like so many small little ways, whether it was through student teaching to getting me into these EF tours, and now like being her assistant coach for girls golf. And girls did pretty good today, so I was pretty happy with that. But in this, we started off, and I've really always wanted to go to, like, Prague. It's kind of, like, one of my favorite historical events there. And so I found a trip that was Germany, Prague, Krakow in Poland, and then Budapest. And that was my first trip. I had, like, 30 kids, like, going overseas. And
that's
like
a big trip.
Oh, EF was like, that's pretty big for a rural district. They're like, you're doing pretty good. Is there anything we can do for you? I was like, yes. Give everyone a free trip. But they said no to that. But it was a pretty stressful trip, that first one. I've traveled a lot. I've traveled with Marines. I've kind of organized, like, foreign travel, working in intelligence and stuff like that. And Germany, first night we get there, flight gets delayed, get to our hotel, 30 minutes, we get to the hotel, everyone's showering and all that stuff, fire alarm goes off.
Oh my God.
I'm like, here we go. Yeah. And then we moved to Prague, and Prague was really awesome. They had the Europa League final there for soccer, and like West Ham, and I knew it was West Ham fans, and they were just loud and obnoxious, and we're like in Prague, like tuna canning it. And
so
then
cool.
Next day comes, I'm like, guys, don't forget to bring your raincoats today. They're like, we didn't bring a raincoat. I'm like, go find one. We go have lunch, we have free time, and the kids are exploring and stuff, and I keep walking past them. I have my raincoat on, put some headphones in, walking through the empty streets of Prague by myself while I just see the kids, like, hurtling under stuff. Then there was, one of the biggest highlights I've ever taken kids on. When we were in Krakow, it's really close to Auschwitz-Birkenau, and we got a tour Auschwitz-Birkenau, the two camps there. You got Auschwitz being the labor camp and Birkenau being the killing camp in the Holocaust, and I cannot explain to you the impact that had on those kids and even myself. Like, it was, even now I have goosebumps. Sure. Like thinking about that, and it was a very emotional thing, and best tour guide I think you ever could have. That guy should be an actor because how well he could deliver these things. And unbelievable experience. End up in Budapest, leave. Next year I'm like, I love ancient Greece, let's go to Greece and Italy. super hot. It was super hot, super fun. We had a good time. Went through that, took a wonderful ferry from Greece to Italy with the kids, and we all had fun, like, sitting out with the sunset, like, playing cards on the deck and everything of this, like, mini cruise ship, basically. And then this last year, we went to Japan. That's the one that I wanted to do from the get-go with kids, because I know a lot of kids, like, are really interested in Japanese culture. I kind of modestly speak it, not really good, but decent enough to get around. And so we went to Japan. I thought it was one of the best organized tours. I have some of the greatest photos of kids, and I always post them on, like, my own, like, AHSEF tours on Instagram and everything. And you just see them grow. Yeah. And it's almost insane. Like, you go that first day, the kids who've never flown, they've never traveled, you see that nervousness, and you're, like, herding cats. By the end of even a week trip, 8 days, 12, they're confident. Like, they come back, like, so confident. I've had numerous ones reach out, and it's like, I go travel, I feel comfortable anywhere. But I think the one thing that stuck out to me the most about our students is we've been paired with other schools. We've been paired with high-income schools. Like, we got paired with a private school in Greece and Italy. We got paired with, like, a pretty wealthy school out in Scottsdale, Arizona last year. Our kids are confident. Like, they, and you can see other tours and other people, like, they aren't afraid. They're able to go while the other ones are hesitant, all this. Like, I'll use Greece and Italy. We had, like, a Greek dinner night. And me, all the kids, we're dancing on the stage, having a great time. And the private school and Denver's like, what's wrong with those guys? And I'm like, come on, have some fun. Yes. But, no, they're amazing. They never stop to impress me that they can just work in any situation. And not being from this valley, you know, you could have that stereotype of, well, they only know the valley. Well, they may only have been in the valley a lot, but they can thrive anywhere is what I've seen in my life with the kids. This year, we're going to my favorite place I've ever traveled, which is Scotland. Wow. Yeah, everything we're doing on that trip, I did with a bunch of Marines. We had, like, a sister platoon in the British Royal Marines, and we'd go out to Edinburgh in Scotland. And I can't wait to go to the castle we went to. They snuck all the Marines up, and we were in, like, the Queen's, like, tea room. So just imagine a bunch of Marines eating crumpets and drinking tea, and it was the Mad Hatter's tea party, that's for sure. But the kids are going to have a great time. We also go to Ireland on that trip, and then next year, I actually got to do my training tour with EF here. We're going to Barcelona and Madrid, so awesome. I'm super, super pumped for that.
Nice. Very nice. Well, just as our listeners and Dr. Murillo and I have heard from you today, you have your fingerprint and you've made an impact on so many students, families, and entities within our school district and community. But as they say, having been a teacher a year, I know someone along the way has asked you this question, because every great teacher has a why. What is your why, or the core philosophy that drives you to do what you do? Because you do so much every day.
I can definitely speak on that. I even tell the students this story a lot. Even like how you guys were talking earlier, like, tell me your story. I usually do a lot of my bell work is usually around personal questions, like, not what did George Washington do on this day. It's more like, tell me about your weekend. Tell me about your break. And then even going a little bit further, like, who has been the best for you, right? One of my best days I ever had was I whole day, we didn't do content. I just said, tell me your story. They're like, what do you mean? I was like, tell me your story. How you got in this classroom? And that's it. And I was like, I'll tell you mine. And my biggest reason why I'm a teacher is I went to a high school, pretty big one, like 5A, 6A school. So my graduating class is bigger than all of Alamosa High School. And in that time, I kind of had a pretty tumultuous life growing up. Parents had substance issues, things like that. I ended up moving out of my house when I was 16. I lived in a house, like a two-bedroom house, or one-bedroom house with five other guys. So we're all kind of like sleeping on the floor. And I would drive 40 minutes to school every day. And those Chicago winters and all that stuff. Yes, so yes. When people are like, we need a snow day here, I'm like, you guys have no idea. We would not have gotten a snow day. And so I'm driving to school, and I'm a very outgoing, positive person. Like, the kids know when I'm like not having a good day, because it's pretty, no poker face over here. I would always participate in class. Wasn't a big homework person, because I was like, I can get A's on tests. Why do I have to do this? And then I just went quiet. And I never had one teacher ever ask me if I was okay. Mm-hmm. And that's all I wanted. I just wanted one teacher to like reach that hand in the pit and be like, or one trusted adult really to be like, hey, I got you. Like, let's talk, let's do your thing. And I think my life would have changed pretty drastically if that was the case. But in that time, I remember as I was graduating and planning on going to Metro, I was like, well, what do? I could go in business and sales and probably do pretty well. But I was like, I kind of want to be a teacher. And a lot of it had to do was have to do with the fact that I don't think a kid ever deserves to have to feel that way.
No.
And the way I approach everything I do in my classroom and everything I do at the school and for the students is for the students. And if that means I have to have personal conversations with them and go a little deeper and to ask them to tell me their story so I can get to know them, or go out of my way to every kid I pass in the hallway and say, hey, how's it going? Right. Like, I may not be able to be out in my classroom and shake everyone's hand, but anytime I pass a kid, I tell them, hey, what's up? How are you doing? And it's real genuine. I really do want to get to know those kids. And a lot of it, too, with that and trying to be that adult and being someone that those kids can rely on, like, it makes teaching a lot easier, because then when I go, as a Marine, you'd think I'd yell at kids and all that. I've never yelled once. In 5 years, I've never sent a kid down to the office. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that when they know you are true and genuine yourself and authentic, they don't have to do all the rambunctious stuff. Or when they do and you tell them to stop, it means something. But I think what matters more is getting them to that finish line, making sure that they become wonderful adults and human beings that can be better for the world around us, because we need a lot of love and kindness in this world, especially today. And just trying to make a positive impact in whatever way I can. But I'm teaching, so if I have a kid in my class, that they don't have to feel like I did when I was younger. So in turn, here I am.
Jeremy, if you could give one piece of advice to a first-year teacher who's just starting their journey somewhere, or maybe here in Alamosa in a couple of weeks when we come back from summer break, what would it be?
That's a good one. I got a couple, but I'll just do one. I think the biggest thing about being a strong and effective teacher is being the most authentic version of yourself in that classroom. And by doing that, and even if it was like, hey, here's this lesson that I did, new teacher, do this lesson. That wouldn't really work for me. If I got a binder dropped in front of me and they're like, you can only teach these things, I would have denied that job at a school district, because I think when you're the most authentic version of yourself, the kids see that. You get an authentic room of kids who are willing to be vulnerable, and being vulnerable with them is sometimes just being quirky and weird and funny and whatever it may be. And kids can see that. They're smarter than we think. I think that's something that, or hey, just because you're the teacher of the room doesn't mean that you're the manager. You're leading them to somewhere, right? Like, it's a team effort. It's the way I kind of look at it.
Okay, well, before we let you go, we're going to do a quick rapid fire round with you. So quickly, what's your favorite era of history to teach?
I love the Industrial Revolution a lot. I'm a big economics historian. Like, I just find it really interesting because I think you can see cultural shifts driven by, especially in our modern day system, by the Industrial Revolution. I haven't actually taught it, even though I'm about to get my master's in U.S. history. But next year, first year ever teaching U.S. history, I'm actually excited for it. The Roaring Twenties, I think, is just a wonderful time. You get this huge dynamic of, like, racial integration, especially in northern cities, and then in turn, the music we have today all comes from that era. Some of the most beautiful poetry, Langston Hughes being my favorite. Like, I Too Am American, I think, is one of my favorite poems ever, incredibly relevant today. But yeah, the Roaring Twenties or the Industrial Revolution, okay. I really like it.
All right, best spot in Alamosa that you like to eat?
Ooh, it's kind of ebbs and flows. I'm a foodie, so I like to bounce around. I don't like eating the same thing. I'd probably go, I don't know, Luchas has been pretty solid lately. Yeah. Like, I think their tacos have gotten a lot better too. But it's kind of hard. Like, I'm kind of picky. Like, if I don't want to go to a restaurant and I think I can make a better meal, then I'll make a better meal. I like to cook, so.
All right. One word to describe the class of 2026. You've known them a while.
Oh, you're going to get me emotional. I'm going to be crying this whole graduation. They're my first kids and first kids I ever taught to when they were in eighth grade. So I've been around them for 5 straight years. That's a tough one. I'm going to go beautiful.
Nice.
I like it.
Well, Mr. Dorsey, thank you for everything you do for our students and even our extended community for being a leader at Alamosa High School. Congratulations again on being named the Alamosa School District Teacher of the Year. We're very proud of that.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
As always, it's a great day to be in Mean Moose. Thank you for being with us today. Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on the school website. Parents, remember that educating your child is key to their future and a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District. Students today, leaders tomorrow.